I would start at the top of Yud Bet Amud Aleph by the two dots by Nigmar Dino. I'm reviewing the Marav. That moment, Yoav made two mistakes, which is, what's the moment? The moment is when Shlomo Melech goes there mita on Yoav. What does Yoav do? Vayanas Yoav el Ol Hashem vayichazek bekarnot hamizbeach. So he goes ahead and he runs to the Ol Hashem and he grabs onto the karnot hamizbeach and he says, "You can't kill me, because now I'm hanging on to the Mizbeach." So what's the mistake he made? Number one, Sheinu Kolet El Gago. The first mistake that he made is that the only thing that protects you when it comes to a Mizbeach is the Gaga Mizbeach. V'hu Tafas Bekarnotav. And he was hanging on to the edges of the Mizbeach, right? The corners of the Mizbeach, as opposed to being on the Mizbeach because of Mi'abiz Bechi. Right, so we say mizbechi techenu lamut, velo mi al mizbechi. You take him from me mizbechi, but not me al mizbechi. Al mizbechi would be the top or the gaga mizbeach. Ta, the second mistake, sheinu koloit al mizbeach beit olamim. The other problem is that it's not the only mizbeach that helps you is the mizbeach of the mikdash, not the mizbeach that he was holding onto, which is v'hu tafas mizbeach shel Shiloh. And he was holding on to the Mizbeach from Shiloh, which happens to be that after the destruction of Shiloh, the Aron and the Mizbeach basically get separated. Right? The Aron, the Sipur of the Aron is laid out in Shmuel. Shmuel Bet, when David HaMelech tries to bring the Aron up to Yerushalayim, right, and the Maaseh with the Plishtim before that. So there's a whole series of places that the Aron travels. But we know from the fact that Shaul later kills out Nov, Ira Kohanim, that the Aron wasn't necessarily in Nov Yir HaKohanim, but there was the Mizbeach that were in Nov Yir HaKohanim. So there is a Mizbeach that's floating around separate from the Aron. And that Mizbeach, David HaMelech eventually brings up to Yerushalayim when he puts the Aron into the Ohel in Yerushalayim. But again, that Mizbeach is not Mizbeach Beit Olamim, and therefore it doesn't qualify for this protection. So those are the two mistakes that he made. Bayin Omer, Bahan Nami Mita Tal, made a third mistake, Tal, Sheinu Kolet El Kohen, Vavoda Biyado Vizu Zaraya. This protection is only afforded to a Kohen who's in the middle of a Voda. That's where we say, right, Mim Mizbechi Tikachen Olamut, Velo Mi Al Mizbechi. But that's what we're referring to a Kohen is doing. But here we're talking about Yoav, who's a Zar, and therefore the Mizbech does not offer that protection to a Zar. Amr Shalakish, Shlosh Tayut Atid, the three mistakes that the Sar Shalomi is going to make in the future. Now, Rashi has a Sar Shalomi Samael. Right, so he's going to run away to a place called the Batsra. And when they come to Biporea from the Sar Shalomi, Latilabo, when the Kates comes, right, because it says, Yifkod Hashem Atzpa Marom, Bimarom. So first he's going to take out, Hashem's going to take out his anger out on those above in the heavens, and then he'll take it out on the ones in below. So these are the one who comes, chamutz bigadim, you know, covered in blood, that goes to a place called Batzra. So the Ir Miklat that we know is Betzer Bamidbar, and he instead goes to a place called Batzra. So it doesn't help him. It sounds the same, but it's not the same place, and therefore it doesn't provide him that protection. So that only protects Shogigim. Behu Mezid, and he's a Mezid. He didn't kill by accident, didn't cause problems by accident. And then Sheino Koletet El Adam, Behu Malachu. Only takes care of human beings. Malachim are not protected by the Ir Miklat. So, Amar Rabbi Bo, Arei Miklat, Lo Natnu L'Kvura. At the Arei Miklat, you're not allowed to bury people in the Arei Miklat. B'chtiv, because it says, U'migrishayhem yiyu l'bem tam l'chusham l'chol chayatam. So that the migrishayhem, right, the space around it, the fields around it, and those areas that are around it, are for grazing of the flocks, and for the rechush, and l'chol chayatam, for all of their living needs. So the chayim nitnu v'lo l'kvura. It's given for those that for living and for those that are alive, and not for the burying of individuals. The problem with that is our Mishnah, Meitavit. Right? Our Mishnah says Shama. He has to go to a new Shama. He has to go there, which is Sham Tehei Dirato. There he lives. Sham Tehei Mitato. There he dies. And Sham Tehei Kvurato. That's where he's buried. The Rotzeach B'Shogeg, who runs away and is in the Ir Miklat, When he passes away, he's buried in the Er Miklat. We said after the Kohen HaGadol passes away, then we take his bones, we exhume the bones, and we move them over to Kivrei Avotav. But until that point in time, he's buried inside the Er Miklat. And you just said you're not allowed to bury inside the Er Miklat. Umar says, no, Rotzeach Shaini Degali Bei Rachmana. The Rotzeach is an exceptional case, because by the Rotzeach, there's a specific Zerat HaKatuv that he must remain in the Er Miklat. So basically, you can have kvura in the Er Miklat for someone who has to be in the Er Miklat, which is the Rotzeach Bishogeg. But anybody else is excluded or precluded from having a kvura inside of the Er Miklat. The Er Miklat cannot be used for kvura, except for those that are, there's a demand of them to be in the Er Miklat, and there's a Zerat HaKatuv that they must be buried in that location. Who else lives there? The Leviim. Right, the Leviim are the other 42 Arei Leviim that are also used as Er Miklat, and the six that they live in, the Leviim there can't be used for Kvura Shalahem. They have to use it, it has to be outside of the city or somewhere else that the Leviim are buried, but not inside the Er Miklat. The only person who's permitted, or the only persons that are permitted, are those that have to be there, which are the Rotchim B'Shogeg. Right, so now, Kshem She'ir Koletet. Reminu. Yoshav Ba, that he has to stay there, Ba V'lo B'Tchuma. In it, and not in its Tchum. So how come in our Mishnah it says Kshem She'ir Koletet Kacha Tchum or Kach Tchuma Kolet? So why is it the Mishnah says the Tchum works, and now we have a statement over here that the Tchum is not useful or doesn't help you out when it comes to the requirement that the Rotzeach B'Shogeg in the city. Bavlo B'Tchuma Amar Rabbi Lokash Kan LeKlot Kan LeDur. We have to deal with two different things. One is where can he live. The other one is where can he protect him. Right, so Ladur, Mark says, Tipkalei deino sim sadeh migrash, lo migrash sadeh, lo migrash ir, lo ir migrash. Wait a minute, you need a specific limud to tell me you can't live in the tchum of the city? You have to actually live in the physical city. The Rotzeach B'Shogeg has to live in the physical city, he can't live in the tchum. Nevertheless, when he reaches the tchum of the city, he's already protected and the Gol Adam cannot kill him. Now you need another, this second brayta which comes to tell me v'yashav ba, that he stays in it, means that he stays in it v'lo b'tchuma, to teach me that he can't live in the tchum. I know that already. Why? What's the requirement of the tchum of the city? That is the migrishehem. We know that the outside of the city has to be used for fields and migrash and open spaces. And we have a brayta, we have the halacha, is that you're not allowed to make a sadeh, a field, into a migrash. Not a migrash, a sadeh, velo migrash, ear, velo ear, migrash. So over here, you can't make a migrash into a ear. You can't change what would be outside of the city, in the tchum of the city, where those fields are, where those migrashim are. You can't change them into a city. And we need them for tunnels. Right? So that which goes under that area. So mechilot that are under the karka, which do not undermine the character of the land above, which means that it could be a migrash, it could be a sadeh. Nevertheless, if he lives in a cave that's under that area, maybe you think that was okay. So that's along the puzzle comes, the yashav ba, that you have to live in the city and not outside the city, not in the tchum of the city, even though you're not undermining the fact that there are migrashim and sadot over there. Alright. Ritzeach shiatzal chutz l'tchum. Tana banan, v'ratzach goel adam et arotzeach. So we have the pasuk that says that the Gol Adam will kill the Rotzeach. When he goes out, it says, "Vim yatzo yitzei Rotzeach et gvul yir miklato asher in Nushama," if he leaves. "Umatza uto Gol Adam michutz gvul yir miklato," if he finds him outside the city, "Veratzach Gol Adam et Rotzeach in Lodam," then he'll kill the killer. And in Lodam, no problem. "Ki yir miklato yishev ad moto kohen gadol," because he has to stay there until kohen gadol. "V'achim mot kohen gadol yishuv Rotzeach l'eretzach huzato." So Gemara wants to know, when it says, "Veratzach HaGoel Adam et Rotzeach," that he's going to kill him if he walks out of the Er Miklat. Mitzvah b'yad Goel Adam. Mitzvah for the Goel Adam to kill him. That's why it says v'ratzach, the active verb, that he will kill him. If he walks out, he will kill him. V'ratzach. Go ahead, kill him. Here's what it has to be. Ein lo Goel Adam. If there's no Goel Adam, reshut b'yad Goel Adam. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Galili. Then there's a, you know, it's reshut. For other people besides the Goel Adam, it's optional if they want to kill this individual or not. Rabbi Akiva Meher, Rishut B'yad Gol Adam. First of all, it's a Rishut. The Gol Adam does not, there's no tzivoy that the Gol Adam must kill him if he leaves the Er Miklat. That's an optional, he has the option. V'chol Adam, and now this is the same Girsa that we had in our Mishnah, either Chol Adam Chayavim Alav, that everybody's chayav, they kill him, or the groz girsa, which has to change here, like in the Mishnah, is b'chol adam ein chayavin alav. It's not chayav on him, but it would be patur aval asur to do it. My time with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What's Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position? Miktiv imratzach. Doesn't the pasuk doesn't say if he kills him ein lo dam? It says viratzach. He walks out of the yer miklato viratzach. He should kill him. So that's Rabbi Kiva. Miktiv yirtzach. Right. So now it doesn't say yirtzach that he should kill. I mean that would be the future tense that he should kill. If he walks out of the yer miklat, yirtzach. Kill him. Go ahead and kill him in the future. And it says, if he walks out of the Yer Miklat, and then it says, Viratzach. So if he kills him, so that tells him, if, it's almost like, if he walks out, Viratzach, and he does this, then Ein Lo Dam. Right, not a Tzivui. Right, the Tzivui would have been written in the future tense, which is that if he walks out, Yirtzach, go ahead and kill him. Right, so that's not the way it's written. Amar mezutra batuv yamarav rotzeach sheyatzah chutz l'tchum umetzol gol adam baragol neragalav. So now we have another opinion. So now you had one opinion was it chiyuv a mitzvah. Rabbi Kiva says it's a reshut. All of a sudden you have marzutra batuv you come along and say rotzeach sheyatzah chutz l'tchum walks out of the yer miklat umetzol gol adam baragol and he finds and kills him neragalav murder. The gol adam who kills the rotzeach who leaves the yer miklat it's murder. Come on. Well, that's lo k'rabbi Yossi Galili, velo k'rabbi Akiva. It's like neither of them. So now, who? Damar ki hai tana. He was like this tana. The tani rabbi Eliezer omer. Ad amdo lifnei ha'ida l'mishpat. Right, until he stands before the edah, the mishpat. Matam loma, lefishin emar v'ratzach kol adam et rotzeach. But that he'll kill him. Yocho miyad. You would think that he can kill him right away, Tamalomar, ad abdol nifnei amida l'mishpat. He has to come to be a case that's adjudicated already. And when is he permitted to kill him? He's permitted to kill him after he's abdol l'mishpat, after he comes to stand for judgment. Once he stood for judgment, then he can be put to death. I mean, who's the one who puts the murderer to death? It's the gol adam. Yad gol adam yateh abob rishona. Right, the gol adam is the first one to kill him. Because he is the Goel Adam. So the permission or the permissibility of the Goel Adam to kill is only in a case where he was in the Yer Miklat, then taken to judgment, and then they find him guilty. In that case, that's when the Goel Adam is allowed to kill. But otherwise, the Goel Adam does not have the right or the ability to kill this individual, and he will be a murderer if he does kill such an individual. Here, so it's a pasuk that the pasuk that they're using, or he's using over here, is the pasuk that's found in Parshat Maaseh, which is we have to set up these arei miklat. We're going to arei miklat. Yena lachem v'nashem rotzeach makenevsh bishkaga v'yu lachem arei miklat mi goel v'lo yamut rotzeach adam dol lifnei aida mishpat. That therefore the rotzeach will not be put to death until. Amdol mimishpat, until he stands in judgment. So the permissibility to kill him, or the permissibility of the Gol Adam to kill him, is only in Amdol mimishpat. He's brought to a verdict, a guilty verdict in the mishpat, but otherwise the Gol Adam does not have permission, and he'll be otherwise classified as a murderer, and as you pointed out, the terminology that's used for the killing by the Gol Adam is viratzach Gol Adam, that he's a rotzeach, not that he's doing some sort of mitzvah, right, to eliminate or to motumat, harotzeach. Over here, it's the Gol Adam is viratzach. He goes in and he kills. And that's exactly what Marzutra, based on the Braita, says that he is actually a murderer and he's not allowed to do such a thing. It's permitted. Not the Gol Adam is a revenge. It's an emotional response. Okay, that's what all the dinim before we said is that in the Yer Miklat they protect him. That's why he's there. Other people are there to protect him. That's exactly what happens in the Yer Miklat. You can't have weapons in the city. I mean, all these things that we do to make sure that Gol Adam can't show up and just kill somebody. That's what it sounds from Rabbi Eliezer. That I assume that's the case. Otherwise, I don't know how he explains the other psukim. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Akiva, hi, I'm dol bifnei adal mishpat ma'idar shubei. What do they do with it? Meaning that he has a good claim here that they can't, shouldn't be that the Gol Adam is allowed to kill Adam dol mishpat. So what do they do with that? So how we violate the Ketani? Rabbi Akiva, mer minayin lesan hedrin shru echad sharagat nefesh shein mimitimo to ad shimo bebeitin acher. How do we know that you have a beit din that witnessed a murder? How do we know that they can't adjudicate the case on the spot, but rather they have to become edim in another beit din? How do we know that? Until he stands before another beit din, meaning that It's not Beit Din, being the witnesses, is not enough to then to bring him to trial. They have to go and bring the trial to another Beit Din. Turn around. So if the Rotzeach leaves the Irmiklat, right, at Gvul Irmiklat, if he lives intentionally to go out of the Irmiklat, then he's subject to the killing by the Gol Adam. Bishogeg minayin. What happens if he accidentally leaves the Irmiklat? So Tamalomar, Im Yatso Yetzei. The double lashon of Yatso Yetzei tells me not only is a Mezid leaving, but even a Shogeg leaving. Mikomakom. Vatanya, Evabraito, Bemezid Nerag, Bishogeg Golet. That this is talking about someone who has left the Irmiklat, so that if he leaves Bemezid, then he's subject to being killed. Bishogeg, if he lives by accident, Golet, then he's sent back. We send him back into the Irmiklat. Mar says, Lokasha. Ha, Command Amar, Amrinan, Dibra Tarak, Lashon B'nei Adam. There are two possibilities about how to view Im Yatso Yetzei. Im Yatso Yetzei can either be a limud, meaning that it's an extraneous lashon, unnecessary to write a double lashon, and therefore Radoshe Doresh that whether he leaves B'mezid, whether he leaves B'shogeg, he's subject to the killing by the Goel Adam. That was the first opinion that we suggested. The second Braita, which we brought down, which says that he's only subject to being killed by the Gol Adam when he leaves B'mezid, thinks that Im Yotzo 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 is not coming for a limud. It's not extraneous Lashon, but rather Lashon B'nei Adam. It's the way, the common way of expressing things, the common way, the colloquial language, and therefore Yotzo Yotzo is no exception to that. That just means he left the Eir Miklat. So only if he goes out to Mezid is he subject to the Gol Adam, but not otherwise. Now Rabbi Mistabra, Command Amar, Dibra Torak Lashon B'nei Adam. Makes more sense according to the one who says that Dibra Torak Lashon B'nei Adam, Shelo Yehi Sofo Chamor Mitchilato. How could his end be any worse than his beginning? I mean, the end being leaving the Eir Miklat is a Tchilato when he murdered, right? The Ritzicha itself. Mat Chilato B'mezid Ne'erag. If he does it on purpose with Kavanah, right, he kills, then he's put to death. Bishogeg. If he does it by accident, he's Golem. Af sofo, so too, when he leaves the Eir Miklat, his din should be the same way. Bimezid Ne'erag, if he leaves intentionally, then he gets subject to the, right, the killing by the Gol Adam. Bishogeg, leaves by accident, Golet. Just like he would if he was in the actual murder. Like his living in the Eir Miklat should be no worse than when he actually murdered. He actually murdered, Bishogeg is Golet. So too over here, Bishogeg should be Golet. So now, Tani Chado. We have one bright, that says, Avsharag Bino. Father kills the son, Nase Lo Gol Adam. Right, then he becomes a Gol Adam. Now, obviously, it can't be that he's the Gol Adam, because the father is the murderer. So what does it mean, Nasela Gol Adam? His brother becomes the Gol Adam. The brother means that an individual has a son, Yaakov, who has Reuven and Shimon. If Yaakov killed Reuven, then Shimon becomes the Gol Adam, because he's the closest relative, and therefore he is going to be a Gol Adam to kill his father. But Tanya Yidoch, we have another Braisa, Im Beno Nasela Gol Adam. That his son cannot be a Gol Adam. So over here, Shimon can't be the Gol Adam because what's going to be? He's going to end up killing his father. So Gemara says, Lema HaRabbi Yossi Aglili VaHa Rabbi Akiva. Let us say this is exactly the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says the Gol Adam is a mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah, then maybe he can even do it to his father. We permit him to kill his father. On the other hand, if it's reshut, like Rabbi Akiva says, then you're not going to be mokom reshut. We're not going to let you violate kibud av vaim. So when it says v'tisper, does that really make sense? Because we just had this gemara in Sanhedrin. Ben the mandamar mitzvah, ben the mandamar reshut, mishari. So since when is it permissible? Whether it's a mitzvah or it's a reshut, it shouldn't be permissible. Why? V'amar rabba, v'ravuna. Right, we say in Sanhedrin, V'chein tana Rabbi Shmuel, L'chol ein ben naseh shliach l'aviv, l'akoto u'l'kelelato. A son can never be a shliach, and here we mean shliach of Beis Din, right, whether to hit his father or to curse his father. Chutz mi mesit. Mesit is always the exception, because there where it's mufka, both from the din of a Beis Din, the, you know, din of hatra'ah, and all these other things. Sharei Amra Torah, because by the Mesid it says, Lo tachmo v'lo techaseh alav. You're not allowed to have any mercy. Don't cover up for him. Elolokash, how do we explain the stira between the Braitot? How do we explain the fact that one says yes and one says no? So the answer is, Ha bivno, ha beben bino. Depends on who is the Gol Adam here. If his son, so here we have Reuven, and Shimon, sons of Yaakov. So after Reuven is killed by his father Yaakov, Shimon cannot be the Gol Adam because he's his son. And the son is chayv in kibud avim, and therefore he can't be. On the other hand, if Reuven has a child, or Shimon has a child, that child who's the grandson of Yaakov could be the Goel Adam, the Ben Beno could be the Goel Adam. Or why? Why can the Ben Beno be Goel Adam? So Rashi makes a statement here, which is controversial, and that's what we're going to spend some time on in a minute, which is Rashi says, why? Shaha Ben Beno Shiratzeach is not, why? Ve'enu Muzhar Al Kvodo. He doesn't have a din of Kibud Avim. A grandchild does not have a din of Kibud Avim when it comes to the grandparents. He's Mufka from the Parsha of Kibud Avim. So that's why Rashi says the differentiation over here. The differentiation relates to the fact that grandchild is not chayav in kibud av'im towards their grandparent. And if that's the case, over here, they can go ahead and be the goel ha'adam. So now, the happens to be a machloket ha'rishonim, as I am as far back to some of the gonim, rishonim and achronim, about whether this is really true. Is it true that a grandchild does not have a chayav of kibud av'im towards the grandparent? And in this context, they're actually three different opinions. And the opinion has to derives a little bit from the fact that b'nei banim harayin kebanim. My grandchildren are the equivalent to children. If you say b'nei banim harayin kebanim, then why isn't the grandchild chayav in kibud avim, just like the parents? His parent is chayav in their parents' kavod. Why isn't he also, if he's b'nei banim harayin kebanim? So therefore you end up with three different shitot about this. One shita is, there is no kibud avim when it comes to a grandparent. That is the shita of Rashi. And we're seeing a second, there's also the shita of the Marik. All right, the Marik is really one of the first to address it. And he says that there is, he says, lo matzinu b'shum makom, that a ben in haben is chayav in the chvod hazaken. Says, lo matzinu b'shum makom. We don't find that anywhere. In Shas, right, we don't know anything like that. So there is no such a concept. Number two, the other two possibilities are, number one, that the ben haben is chayav in kibud hazaken, and that bnei Marian kabanim, and that he is chayav in the kibud hazaken. We're going to see in a second that's the shita rama, and the shuta rama discusses this. And the last opinion is that maybe it derives from his father. The reason that he's chayav in kibud av aim towards the zaken is because he's chayav in kibud av aim towards his parent. And just like his parent is chayav to give kavod to their parent, then a derivative of kibud av aim would be that they also, the grandchild is also chayav in the grandparents' kavod, because the parent who's in between them is also chayav in the grandparents' kavod. So those are the three opinions. The question really arises, which is interesting, in the Shut Marik, it's also actually mentioned earlier on, just mentioned the Sefer Chassidim. It's not clear what the Sefer Chassidim means in this case, but he writes like this. He says, every mitzvah in the Torah, kol mitzvot yukabal adam adam schar. Every mitzvah in the Torah, a person will get schar from it. Afilu mitzvot shel arecherim, even mitzvot that don't belong to you, could go. Mishlo ra avivim beo b'amdo al delato. Heichan kibud avim. And he thinks about it, he goes, how can I do kibud avim? My parents aren't around. A person's an orphan, a chas v'shalom. They have no way to do kibud avim. So how does he get this mitzvah? V'yeshlo zaken v'zikna. He has a grandparent, or grandmother, or grandfather. Harizeh yikayim aleihem mitzvah kibud ki'iluhu b'neihem. He should treat them as if he's their child, and he'd be able to give them kibud avim. So what's unclear from the Sefer Chassidim is, does he mean this literally, that is the chiyuv of kibud avim, or does he mean that it's like kibud avim, which he gives other examples of over here, that there are other things that he could do, like kvod rabo, right, kvod achiva gadol, all these items there, we know that it's not so clear that that's all midin do raisa, right, and therefore, Where is the line that he's drawing over? Does he really believe that it's a doraisa din, or is he just saying it's like, it's equivalent of kibud avim, and he can be kind of the mitzvah, theoretically, in that broader way? So that's the Sefer Chassidim. The Shut Marik has actually asked the question, and the question relates to, can a grandchild say Kaddish for a grandparent? Now, obviously, anybody can say Kaddish. We even do a third party saying Kaddish. The question is, does he have kedimot for the omud? Is he, it comes down now, and they have, in their day, it wasn't that everybody said Kaddish. One individual, they divided up the Kaddishim between all the individuals that were davening. So now all of a sudden I have a number of individuals, children, that are saying Kaddish for their parents, and I have this one grandchild who's saying Kaddish for his grandparents. Is he on equal footing with these other children? So the Marik says, first of all, that there's a connection between the Amirat Kaddish is Talui b'chiyuv kavod. When it comes to the Kaddish, Kaddish has to do with your obligation to give kavod. So that's number one. So then he says number two. He says a grandchild is not chayav in the kavod of the grandparent. And therefore, because lo matzino b'shum makom, that there's a chiyuv, such a chiyuv. We find it by a stepmother, a stepfather, an older brother, all those limudim we have in the Gemara. But we don't have anything anywhere that says, ben ha-ben b'fad ha-zakim l'atzin v'shum makom. And therefore, no, he has no obligation, he has no rights to say Kaddish for the grandparent over those that are saying it for their parents. And therefore those who are saying it for their parents trump. And he doesn't have any rights there. Ah, what about b'nei banim harihen kebanim? What does he do with that? So the Marik says it only applies to Puriya or Rivya. It only applies to Pru or Vu. By Pru or Vu, if you want to know if you mekayim the mitzvah for Yivama, that's it. B'nei banim, harien kebanim, that has a qualification for a Puri or Rivya, has qualifications for dinim by Yivama. But otherwise, it's not. That's a unique din to those areas. It's not expansive. It doesn't affect us by kibud aveim and by kaddish. Now, in the end, he says, look, he shouldn't be any worse than a third party that's saying kaddish. And a third party who gets kaddish gets one portion for every two that the children get. So he'll get his portion in that way. I mean, he'll be divided up like any other third party that's saying kaddish. But he won't get the status of being a child that's saying kaddish. That's the shut marik. The Ramah, in a shut, the Ramah is asked the same question by a grandparent. Grandparent who has no sons. He has a daughter who has a son, so he has a grandson. And he brought up this son. He brought up this grandson. He paid for his Rebbe. He took care of him, all these sorts of things. And he wrote to the Ramah, asking him, can this grandson say Kaddish for him, number one? And will he have his chiyot of saying it like a child? The Ramah writes back to him, yes, it is the case. And he asked the Ramah for a written, right, he wants some sort of yeshur from the Ramah, that this grandchild can walk around with his yeshur and show that he has the right to say Kaddish. So he gets askoma from the Ramah that this is correct. The Ramah writes that he thinks that he has no problem, he should be able to say Kaddish for his father and get rights just like a son saying it for the father. Ah, what about the Marik's claim that there's no such thing, we don't find nothing in Shas? He says, I found a Medrash. The Medrash is by Yaakov Avinu when he's going down to Mitzrayim. On the way down to Mitzrayim, he stops in Be'er Sheva, he's Makriv Karbanot. Over there, when he's Makriv Karbanot, Vayizbach Yaakov Zvachim Lelokei Aviv Yitzchak. So it says there, he gave Karbanot to Elokei Yitzchak. What about Elokei Avraham? So there, Chazal saying, Rashi quotes this, Shchayav Adam Bechod Aviv Yoter Michvod Avi Aviv. The reason that he mentioned that he's bringing it Zvachim Lelokei Aviv Yitzchak, because a person's more obligated in the kavod of his father than he is in the kavod of his grandfather. But what do you see from that? You see, you're chayav more in the kvod aviv mi kvod ha grandfather. But that implies that he is chayav in the kvod ha grandfather. And from that, the Ramah says, I can prove to you that there is such thing as kvod of a grandparent. Now what he doesn't, and then over here he says, obviously in our case, by Yatom, who grew up in the father, in the house of his grandfather, for sure he should be able to say Kaddish as long as his mother permits. I mean, as long as the mother's okay with the same Kaddish in her lifetime, then it's fine and he can go ahead and say Kaddish. So now that's the machlokas in the shoot between the Marik and the Ramah. When it comes to friends like the Rambam and the Tur, omit this, have no din, do not address this issue of a Kvod Zakein. And even in the opposite way around, the Hilchot Mamrim, the Rambam says that when it comes to Kilat of a grandparent, then he's treated like a third party and not like a child who curses their parent. Child curses against has a special din, a special mitah, whereas someone, a normal person who curses, has a different din over belav. And this grandchild is classified as that third party. So from the Rambam and the Tur, it seems like they don't think that there's any obligation, or that the obligation may only stem from the parent, the kvod aviv. And therefore, in cases where the father has passed away, there may be no obligation for the grandchild to give kavod to the grandparent. Now, it would be a nice thing, it's a proper thing to do, but it doesn't mean that they're chayav from dinim of kibud aveim. On the other hand, so with the Shulchan Aruch, when he brings the din down, of course there's a Haggah, the Ramah comments on this, and the Ramah says, afilu, he says over here, Haggah yesh omrim de'in adam chayav b'chod avi aviv. So some people say that a grandchild is not chayav in the kavod of the grandparent, and who's he quoting over there? The Marik. Says the Marik, ve'eno nirali, and the Ramah says, I disagree, like he said in his own shut. He says, el techayav b'chod aviv yoter michod aviv. Says that you're chayav in your parents' kavod more than your grandparent, but you're still chayav in the kavod of the grandparents. And therefore the Ramah says, you are chayav, he quotes this in Shulchan Aruch. The Bira Gra over there says, take a look at Rashi in our sugya. He quotes, look at the, instead he said, we quote the Marik as a source for no. But there's Rashi in our sugya who says that there's no chiyuv kavod for a grandparent. So the Taz, Istan is really the Bach, and the Taz, the Shach quotes this Bach, says, well, if you believe you're really Chayav in the grandparents' Kavod, we have a din that's laid out here in Shulchan Aruch, here in Deah Simon Reish Mem, when it talks about Kibbut Avayim, that a father, the obligation to do Kibbut Avayim comes out of the money of the parents. If the parents don't have money, then the child has to pay or should pay for the Kibbut Avayim. What happens if the parent does not have it, the child doesn't have it, but the grandchild does have money? According to the Ramah, that your chayav and the grandchild is chayav in the kibud aveim of their grandparents, we would take the money, we'd ask the grandchild to pay for the kibud aveim of the grandparent, just like we would ask the child to pay for it. That has a nafkaminos alocha. There are other nafkaminos in the shoot and the shootim. Interesting questions, and we dealt with this actually with kibud in other situations with kibud aveim. So I'll give you an example of one. And we can, later on, I'll send out the Mikorot so that you have the examples of other. But he's in the Torah Lishma, he asks the basic question, he goes, are you allowed to make keys dumb? Are you allowed to do an operation or a medical procedure on a grandparent? So we know we dealt with this in the Gemara and Sanhedrin about doing medical operations on a parent. And there we said that we try to avoid it, or we prefer that you don't do it. It happens to be Machloket HaRishonim about what the din is. But in general, everybody agrees that we should try to avoid it. By a grandparent, what is the din? So here, the Torah Lishma says that, quotes our Gemara here in Makot, and the Rashi, who says that it doesn't seem there's any din of Kibbut Aveim, quotes the Rambam, who says by Mekalel, Aviv, Ave Aviv, that when it talks to a grandparent, also no din of a child in that case. And therefore, he believes that Kibbut Aveim that applies to a grandparent, it's only a din derabonon. It's only a din derabonon to give Kibbut Aveim to the grandparent. And therefore, in this case, where he has a tzivoy, or a po yirapei, or to take care of the grandparent, or there, the din derabonon is not going to stand as an issue. It's a mitzvah to say derabonon to give kibbut aveim. Okay, that's fine, but why should this person then refrain from providing medical treatment to a grandparent? And therefore, the Torah Lishma paskins that the din of b'nei banim, ariyem kebanim, is only a din derabonon, it's a smachta on the pasuk. And therefore, any of these cases where you have another mitzvah or another issue coming up, we're not going to enforce the kibbut aveim towards the grandparent. And that's one of those, for instance, in death penalties or in cases of medical treatments, we're going to say, go ahead and do medical treatment. Now look, if there's someone else, he says, tavola bracha, if there's someone else that can do it and he doesn't do it. But nevertheless, if he has to do it, it's not the problem. It's not even at the severity of a parent, where there might be other issues that arise. And the same thing when it comes to the punishment of a mikalel, even though derabonon you have a din of kibbut aveim towards the grandparent, or you have a din of banim towards the grandparent, that won't be mechayev yumita being mikalel a grandparent. So again, I'll send you out the mikorot. It's just an interesting topic here about whether there is a din of kibbut aveim by a grandparent. All right, now we'll begin the Mishnah, the next Mishnah. Ilan, shu omeid v'toch ha-tchum, you have a tree that stands inside the tchum of the Ir Miklat, v'nofeno to the chutz, and the branches go out outside the tchum of the or the chutz the ir, or chutz the tchum of the Ir Miklat. Omeid chutz the tchum, you have a tree that's standing outside the tchum, v'nofeno to the betoch ha-tchum, and the branches go inside the tchum. As the Mishnah says, akol holeich achar ha-nof, everything goes after the nof, and everything goes after the branches. Since the ikar of the tree is the nof, because a person, we're going to see in a second in the Gemara, a person can live either in the branches or under the branches, but that's not true of the trunk. You can't live under the trunk. Right? You can only live under the branches. Therefore, when it comes to dira, and talking about living, the branches have a more significant stage. So over here from the Mishnah, it sounds like we go after wherever the branches are. Wherever, if the branches are on the outside, they draw the entire tree to be classified as outside. The branches on the inside, they draw the tree to be classified as inside the tchum of the Ir Miklat. That would be the Pashtus HaMishnah. V'riminu, is this really true? I have a Mishnah in Maisu Sheni, Ilan, Shu'omeid, that said, that's standing tocha tchum or tocha ir, notela chutz, or as going outside, as branches going outside, omeid b'chutz, it's outside, v'notela lifnim, and as branches that are going inside the chumat Yerushalayim, mi k'neged ha'choma v'lifnim, k'lifnim, k'neged ha'choma l'chutz, k'lechutz. There's a wall. You want to know what's in and what's out? Inside the wall's in, outside the wall's out. So whatever the tree is inside the wall, classified as inside. Whatever's outside the wall, it's classified as outside. There's no problem. We have a line, you know, it's like a wall, and it goes up to Shamayim, and that's the dividing line. That's a din by Maaser Sheni. So why is there a difference between Maaser Sheni and the din of Ir Miklat? Rabbi says, Maaser Ari Miklat Karamit? You're asking a question from Maaser Sheni to Ir Miklat? Meiser b'chomat halach rachmana. By Meiser, the din revolves around the wall. You have to be inside the wall. You have to be inside the city. So that's what matters. The wall is what matters. The wall is a determining factor whether you're in or out of the city. So therefore, when it comes to Meiser Sheni, what is the determining factor? The wall. But by Ir Miklat, what's the din of Ir Miklat? Ir Miklat bidira tala rachmana. What's the din? Ir Miklat is all about where you live. It's about living space and being able to live. You have to be able to reside inside the Ir Miklat. So residence, well, residence is more determined by, we just said before, the nof than the ikar. Benofo mitarle, bikara lo mitarle. When it comes to the branches, you can live. That's usable living space. Whereas under the trunk or by the trunk, that's not usable living space. So therefore, we're going to go or focus on the nof. We're going to focus on the branches in that case because that's what the ikar of the Ir Miklat is. So Umar says, Virami maser amaser. Okay, you solved the problem between maser and Ir Miklat, but we have a problem because there's another Mishnah in Maser, which says, Virami maser maser detanya. It's really, we probably read Tanan, right? There's a Mishnah, Yerushalayim achar halach achar anof. When it comes to Yerushalayim, you go after the nof. Bari Miklat halach halach achar anof. And Ir Miklat, you also go after the nof. So here are two things. One is that the equivalence between Yerushalayim and an Ir Miklat. And number two, they both say achar anof. So now what are you going to do? Now, you were worried before about the question from our Mishnah here. But you have a Mishnah in Maaser Sheni itself saying that you go after the nof. So what are you going to do? It's Amar Rav Kana. Amar Rav Kana, look, Kasha. It's not a question. Ah, Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbonot. It's Machlokes Tanaim about this. Tetanyo. Now we have a Braisa. We have a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Bim Ma'ara Holech Achar Pitcha. This is what we were discussing before. By Ma'ara, you go after where it opens up. So the cave, where does it open up? It opens up inside the tchum of the Ir Miklat. Then it's classified like the Ir Miklat. Opens out upside. Even though the Ma'ara itself is inside the tchum, but wherever it opens, right, that's the determining factor over here. Bilan Holech Achar Nofo. When it comes to a tree, you go after the branches, where the branches are. So now you hear, you see, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So let us say now, Rabbi Yehuda's the author of our Mishnah here in Makot. He's also the author of the Mishnah Maestro that says, Aleich Achar Anof. And then, what about the Mishnah that says that it go after the wall itself of Maestro Sheni? That din will be the din of the Rabbanon, who disagree. Rabbanon says it's a din in the Chumah, it's not a din in the Nof. Mar says, Imor, the Shemait later, Rabbi Yehuda, Gaba Maser, the Chumrah. That by Maser, he would say, you go the Chumrah. What does that mean, the Chumrah? Because by Masrot, there's a Chumrah on both sides of the wall. There's a Chumrah on the inside of the wall, which is that you're only permitted to eat Maser Sheni inside the wall, but what you're not allowed to do inside the wall is redeem Maser Sheni. You can't redeem fruits or ochel of Maser Sheni inside of Yerushalayim. Once the kedushat of the ear has been tofaced, the item, you can't redeem it anymore once you're in the city. The kula is that you can eat it inside the city. The chumrah is that you're allowed to, you can't be poda inside the city. Outside the city, you have a kula and a chumrah. The kula is that you're allowed to redeem it, but the chumrah is you can't eat outside. So now, what do we mean that Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda goes, achalech achar anuf lo chumrah. He's saying we're going to be machmir for both sides. Which is now, since you have a chumrah on the inside and the outside, therefore we're going to be machmir for both directions, which is this. Imer der shemayi Rabbi Yehuda gavi maisa lo chumrah. Ikro b'chutz. The trunk is on the outside, but nofo bifnim, and the branches on the inside. Keheche de nofo lo matzi parik. Just like on the branches, you can't redeem it. Why? Because they're inside the city. So too, bikaro lami lo parik. There you can also redeem it. So we're going to go the chumrah. We're saying the trunk gets the chumrah of the branches that you can't redeem it. They're classified as being as if in the city. The chumrah being in the cities, you can't redeem it. Ah, ikro bifnim. Otherwise, the trunk's on the inside. Venofo bachutz. And the branches on the outside. So now what's the chumrah? Kihecha denofo lo matzi ochil below b'diah. Just like on the outside, you can't eat on the branches because they're outside the wall unless you redeem the fruit and take the money into Yerushalayim. So it's over there, you can't eat it. So too, bikro nami lo matzi. Even though the trunk's inside the city, you will not be able to eat Maaser Sheni on that trunk. So there, what do you see? That he's only doing Miklat. So over here, we're talking about you have a chumrah in Shnei Tzadim. If you have a chumrah in Shnei Tzadim, we could just say that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion derives from the fact that he has a chumrah on both sides. How do you have a chumrah on both sides? Now, truthfully, it depends whose perspective you're looking from over here. Right? If you look at it from the perspective of the Gol Adam versus looking at it from the perspective of the, right, of the person who is the Rotzeach, who's inside the city. But there's only one din. The one din is outside the city is subject to being killed. inside the city is subject to being protected. So now, if you want to talk about a chumrah, right, the only chumrah would put him outside the city. Bishlamo by the yermiklat ikro b'chutz. If you had the trunk on the outside, even nofel b'fnei, the branch on the inside. Ke'eched the nofel lo matzim katulei, just like on the inside, he can't kill him. Be'ikaro nami lo matzim katulei, he can't kill him on the trunk. So that's good. Ela ikaro b'fnei, if the trunk's on the inside, v'nofel b'chutz. Ke'eched the nofel matzim katulei, be'ikaro nami matzim katulei. Right? So what you're going to say, just like you can kill him on the branches on the outside, he can kill him on the trunk that's on the inside? It says, Hagavaikoi, it's sitting on the inside. Why would you make it? What type of, why are you going to, you're going to be machmir over here in this sense? You're going to be mach, it's really a chumrah for the person who's living inside, but it's a kulo, the gabe, the goladam. Why are you going to be makil to move the trunk outside so now you can kill him on the trunk? We're not going to be makil to do that. So therefore, it's not going to work. Just because Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Mishnah in Maisrot doesn't mean that he would agree by Yir Miklatz. Because in Maisrot, there's Shnei Drachim L'Chumra. There is Machmir L'Tznei Atzadim. But over here, there's only a Chumra on the one side. The Chumra is that the trunk is pulled into the city and he can't kill him on the trunk. But to pull the trunk out of the city and let him kill, that's a Kula. That's not a Chumra. So Rabbi Yehuda won't agree. So Amar Rava, Rava says, no. Bikaro, when it comes to the trunk, or it could be the gear says Rabba Bikaro, the Kuli Amalo Pligi de lo Matsil Kotil. Everybody agrees that if the trunk is inside the city, right, no killing. Kai bin nofo, if he's out on the branches, but Yacholo go bechitzimitzorot, and he can shoot him with arrows or rocks, Kuli Amalo Pligi de Matsil Kotil, there you can kill him. Everybody's a given that the trunk is protected, it's inside the city. The nof is unprotected because it's outside the city. Ah, what's their makolkis? So this is the machlokas here. Kipligei b'mahavi ikro darga l'nofo. That when the trunk, it gives you accessibility to the branches. So when the trunk gives you accessibility to the branches, there, marsaver ikro darga l'nofo, marsaver lo ikro darga l'nofo. One says that the ikar, the trunk, can be considered subservient to the branches, and therefore the trunk now is drawn after the branches. If it doesn't function as a separate entity, but rather just as a stepping stone to get to the branches, then it'll have the same status as the branches. If that's the case, it'll be drawn out of the city, and it'll be, oh, alach, achar nofo. That's what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is. On the other hand, if we say that it's not classified as a stepping stone, that means that the ikar and the branches are separate entities. So based on this, Rashi says, ulinya miklat, when it comes to miklat, eicha di ikaro b'chutz, v'nofo b'fnim, when is the trunk is on the outside and the branches on the inside, the chumru, shadi karo bartanofo. Everybody agrees, throw the tree inside the city, and there's nothing to talk about. Right? Because the kuliyama nof batar ikar lo shadinan. Everybody agrees that we don't throw the branches after the trunk. So if the trunk's on the outside and the branches on the inside, we're gonna push it in because nobody thinks that the branches go after the trunk. But the other way around, with the trunk's on the inside and the branches on the outside, there the branches are already on the outside. So once the branches are on the outside, the question is, what's the status of the trunk? Well, the status of the trunk, just by itself, should be classified as inside. The only exception on the machlok is about when the trunk is not a self-standing. I mean, it is, of course, self-standing, but it's where it's not have its chain by itself. It's just really an access point to the branches. So since it's used as an access point to the branches, what's the din of that trunk? It's become a subset of the branches, and therefore it's classified as being outside? Or is it classified as a right separate entity, and therefore it will not be drawn out? That's machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. That's been a rabbah. If Ashi comes along and says, my acharanof, what does it mean after the branches? Af acharanof. We also go after the nof. So that's subject to a machlokas Rashi and the Ram that is quoted in the Tosfos over here about what this means, af acharanof. So Rashi explains, what does it mean, af acharanof? So Rashi says, the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. The author who says, acharanof by Yerim Miklat is Rabbi Yehuda. And he says, everything is l'chumra. That means that if you go, the Inyan Maaser, no question about the l'chumra, because you can go to l'chumra on both sides and you go af acharanof. By Yerim Miklat, we need af acharanof, we go to l'chumra. What does it mean af acharanof? Because, in general, if I was to ask you about a tree, now here the Gemara says by Yerim Miklat, it makes sense that the branches are the determining factor because you can live under the branches. But if I was objectively to ask you about a tree, a trunk, and branches, what would you say is the determining factor of where the tree is located? You would always say, the trunk. That makes the most sense. Draws its sustenance, that's what holds up the branches. I mean, it makes the most sense. So based on that, that's what Rashi says over here. Rashi says, if you look, it's the last line of Rashi before the Mishnah, it says, Shem shom de kuli gemara shadina nof batarikar. Since throughout Shas, The branches always follow the trunk. Itzrechacha lemeimar leinyan miklat. Over here, he has to say for the miklat. Zimnin deshanina ikar bater nofa chumra. Over here, we sometimes throw the ikar. We throw the trunk after the nof for the chumra. So enochanami that everything is the chumra. We look at everything in the chumra, which is that. So the branches on the inside and the trunks on the outside. We go after the branches. And everything is classified as being an inside. When the trunk is on the inside and the branches on the outside, we classify everything as being inside the city as well. So there we're going butter. So now why did he say af achara nof? He could have equally said in the Mishnah af achara ikar, even after the ikar. So Rashi tells you the answer to that question. Why? Because going after the ikar is not a chiddush. That you would have assumed anyway. Af batar anof, that is a chiddush. So over here, when you go by Ir Miklat, Shneham the Chumra, what's Shneham the Chumra? We always classify the tree as being on the inside. Whether the trunk's on the inside or the outside, whether the branches on the inside or the outside, everything is classified as being inside the city. Either because we go after the trunk, which is in the city, or we go af achar anof, even after the branches that are inside the city, and draws the whole tree inside the city. And that's what it means, the Chumra. But according to Rashi, always the tree is classified as being inside the city, and the reason the Mishnah uses af achar anof instead of af achar ikar is because that's not a chiddush. Af achar ikar is what you would have thought anyway. Af achar anof is the chiddush, and that's why that's what the only one mentioned in the Mishnah. Tosos takes issue with it. One issue is about it could have said equally af achar and ikar. Rashi admits Rashi has an answer to that question, but he has another question which bothers him about this idea. As here, v'kach necha perish Aram, that the explanation of the Ram makes more sense. The vaday din nof atzmo lo haya batel bi olam. The nof is never batel to the ikar. Gam lechumra ki diprash, even when it goes lechumra. V'achi ramar af lachar nof shadinan leikar lechumra. So then, what is it? If the tree's on the outside, the nof is in the inside, the chumra, we say everything is classified as an inside, that the ikar, the trunk goes on the inside. But if the trunk is on the inside and the branch is on the outside, Rashi said, we go after the ikar, and it's all classified as being inside, and you can't kill them on the branches. So says, no. On the branches always remain independent, you can kill them on the branches. What we don't say is the chumra that the ikar gets pulled out of the city. The ikar remains inside the city, but the branches do not pull it outside the city. What Tosfos disagrees with Rashi is what's the status of the nof that's outside the city. According to Rashi, the nof that's outside the city gets pulled by the ikar, and it's classified as being in the city. So chumra l'shnei tzadim, right, according to Ravashi. According to Tosfos, no. The branches remain outside the city. They're an independent entity, and you can kill them on the branches. What it means, af lachar nof, means af lachar nof the chumra. Nof can do the chumra to bring the trunk inside, but it can't change its own status. Meaning that if it's outside the city, then it's outside the city. The ikar, the trunk, cannot draw it into the city because the nof stand independent. They're the most important part over here. And since they stand independently, the nof remains outside the city. You can kill them on the nof, but it can't go up to the ikar. So that's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos over here. Again, everybody agrees if the nof's in the city and the ikar is on the outside, it's classified as being inside. Question arises when the trunk's on the inside, the nof's on the outside. Rashi says, batar ikar, and everything's considered in the city. Tosfos says, no, we divide it. It's like being with the choma. The nof's outside, the ikar's inside, and that'll be the din of this case here. So that's it. The reason Tosfos is driven to do this is because he says, by the case of Maser, we said that we went batar nof lechumra on both sides. Over there, I mean, pshitale, the din nof atzmo aya batel klal. Everybody agrees there that the nof can never be batel to the ikar. That everybody agrees with. So he says over here, all of a sudden we're going to say that the nof is batel to the ikar according to Rashi. Now Rashi says, well, kulushas, that's the case. And so it doesn't say, wait, all of a sudden the whole sugi is working one way, and then all of a sudden you're going to change it at the end of the sugi. Rashi is changing that din? No, he says the din is that the nof always is not batel to the ikar. And that remains over here. It remains over here that the nof is not batel the ikar. Harag ba'uto ayir. If he kills in that city itself, what happens if he murders in an ir miklat? Then goleh mishchuna l'shchuna, he moves from neighborhood to neighborhood. Uben Levi goleh mi'ir ir. As opposed to that, Ben Levi goes from city to city. So this actually happens to be subject to a machlokas donim about what to do here. We'll read the Gemara and then we'll come back and explain this. Tanu Rabbanan, v'samti l'cha makom, v'samti l'cha, that means to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, v'samti l'cha makom, when he puts together the Am Eir Miklat, v'samti l'cha makom, b'chayecha, in your lifetime. Makom, a place, where's that place? Mimkomcha, from your place. Asher yenu shama. Ma'amei, chayei Yisrael megalim b'midbar. And Ritzach v'shogeg in the midbar was put into galut, ha'echa megalim in l'machanei Leviyah. Where was Moshe? Moshe is in the Machanei Leviyah. So even the lifetime of Moshe, there is an Eir Miklat. The Eir Miklat is Mimkomcha, your place, and that's Machanei Leviyah. Mikan Amru, for this they said, Ben Levi Sharag, Goleh Mipelach Lepelach. Ben Levi that kills gets sent from city to city. Over here, it's not clear. Pelach Pelach is a much bigger area. It's like from Medina to Medina. Vim Galah Lepocho, Pocho Koto. If he goes to his own Pelach, then it's Koleitim. So Amar Abacha, Breid Rav Ika, Mikra, where do we know that? Because it says, Ki Be'ir Miklato Yeshev, Ir Shekalto Kfar. He can stay in the Ir Miklato, the Ir Miklat had already captured him. So the question here is, from the Breid, it sounds like that the Ben Levi can stay in his location, and if he stays in his location, then B'di'evet, it's okay. So that the Mishnah says, no, that Ben Levi is Golem Ir Le'ir. So there's some Rishonim who believe that that is V'chadchila versus B'di'evet. And Tosos mentioned something like this, and Rashi has a similar type of pshat, which is that lichat chila, the Ben Levi should leave his city, or he should leave his location. If he doesn't leave his city, nevertheless, he is protected, because if he stays in his city, he is protected. So that could be the explanation of the difference between the Braita and the Mishnah. One is lichat chila. Lichat chila, he should go migolem Meir Le'ir. If he's not golem Meir Le'ir and he stays in his city, he just moves from place to place within the city, it still works. It's still kolaitim and he's protected. Even though he shouldn't, that's not what he should have done. That's the way some of the Rishonim. Other Rishonim say, wait, how can you have a lachatchila and bidiyevet by this? If he lachatchila has to go, then should go, period. What's this? Bidiyevet, he's protected. Either he goes or he doesn't go. Other Rishonim explain that, no, there's a difference between an individual who is brought to an Ir Miklat because he killed. So a person is brought to an Ir Miklat because he killed, therefore in his city he has to move mishchuna l'shchuna. He has to move from neighborhood to neighborhood. Why? Because he can't leave the city. He is a rutzeach, and he can't leave this Ir Miklato. He's not allowed to leave the Ir Miklato. So if he kills when he's in Ir Miklato, what do we tell him to do? We tell him to move from neighborhood to neighborhood. On the other hand, a Levi is not in the city because he has to be, because he's a rutzeach. He lives there. So if he lives there, we're going to say to him, wait, if he murders, go to another city. Go to another Ir Miklat, because you need to be Goleh. If you need to be Goleh, leave the city and go to another location. So now, what about the Braisa that says that he is, if he goes into his own neighborhood, then his Pelach is, right, then it takes it or keeps him. Or the limitation of movement on the Levi might be different. Meaning that for the Levi, that the shchuna that he gets put into becomes limited now. That he has no free access, right, in his own city. Meaning that the Levi might be, if he chooses, instead of going to another city, he chooses to go to another location within the city, that becomes his Ir Miklat. Exactly. That becomes a new limitation of his Ir Miklat, and he can't leave that shchuna. But that might be the other way that some of the Rishonim solve the problem between our Mishnah and says Ir Le'ir. So shchuna l'shchuna is when, you go to Ir Le'ir, you get the full city. Like anybody else. If you can stay going to shchuna, your shchuna is now going to become your Ir, and then you're limited to that city itself. Another possibility of solving the problem is actually suggested by other Rishonim, like the Rambam and the Meiri, explaining the Mishnah, that it depends on where the killing took place. If he kills inside the Ir HaMiklat, then he's going to be forced, the Levi Ben Levi is going to be forced to go to a different city in order to act as the Ir HaMiklat. His city itself can't act as the Ir HaMiklat because he killed in there. If he kills outside the city, then he can just move in the city. He can go mishchuna l'shchuna, he can move wherever he wants in the city, just can't go back to his original location within the city. But that's because he killed outside of the city, and therefore the city can now act as an Ir HaMiklat for him. On the other hand, if he kills in the city, that can't be his Ir HaMiklat, and he'll have to go to another city. Okay, we'll stop over here.